You got the touch. You got the power. To whom it may concern, to the resident E. Vill and company whom are occupying the Oswald E. Spencer estate, I must sadly inform you that your residency must be terminated. My lack of contrition resides from your inability to create something more wonderful than what I have seen stumbling from behind the gates. When you arrived in 1996, our contract had stated that the Oswald E. Spencer estate would be protected in value as an important part of Raccoon City's history. But since the summer of 1996, all that has come from the estate has been plague, disease, feral pets, and drunken half-mutilated partygoers who have made everyone sick. We have had multiple visits from Raccoon City Police Department to no avail. The state has stepped in and sent them their very best and what they call the STARS unit, only to have each member quit and never show up again. You are in breach of landlord-tenant contract, so I must inform you, as of today, May 7, 2002, you are being evicted from the premises. You have 30 days to comply and completely remove yourself and all parties from the estate. All damages will be cleared by the Raccoon City Marshal and assessed. Thank you. Sincerely yours. The person who has become fed up with your nonsense and continued lack of effort to produce quality. Eddie Z. This was the letter I wrote in 2002 to Game Informer magazine, a magazine that at the time was competing with the very popular gaming magazine Electronic Gaming Monthly. They had a letter portion that most niche magazines have these days, and it asks, if you could send a letter to one video game franchise and share your feelings about their games, who would it be? What would you say? And I did. How's everyone doing out there? I'm Eddie Z, and this is The Kitchen Sink. The Kitchen Sink, it derived from that old saying, he hit him with everything but the kitchen sink. Well, this is The Kitchen Sink. You can find us at Podomatic, The Kitchen Sink, on iTunes soon enough. You can post your comments and questions if you follow us at www.facebook.com/kitchen.sink.12. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. Tell your kids, tell your wife, tell your husbands too. You can also follow us on Twitter, The Kitchen Sink at The Kitchen Sink 2. That's the number 2. And email us at The Kitchen Sink 2014@gmail.com. Share your thoughts on the show, what you would like to see, and this is the time to do it, people. We are a new and up-and-coming podcast, and we hope to make some waves in the new year. It will only be possible if you make it happen. I just talk. Just remember, we in the forum are open to all ages, all creeds, all kinds, all sexual preferences, all races. Everyone who has ears and can listen are open to this show. So keep the debates, keep them clean, keep them respectful. I do this because I love to have fun with this stuff. Instead of just sitting on my couch arguing with old friends, I would rather be debating it with new ones. So let us know what you think. Now, if you ask yourself, why does he keep saying us? This show is a two-man show and will feature myself, Eddie Z, and co-host Chris Wizard. We will also have guests from time to time. Once again, like us at www.facebook.com/kitchen.sink.12. That's the number 12. Hell, if we can get 100 likes, we'll start opening up the phones. And if we could get 500 likes by September, we are trying to get a table for the New York City Comic Con. But that is news for later. If you want to hear about all things wrestling, please visit my good friends Corey Richmond and Jason Brooks at The Worked Shoot Podcast. That's TheWorkedShoot Podcast on iTunes. And on Facebook, you can follow them at facebook.com/TheWorkedShoot Podcast. Now, some things to know right off the bat. When you hear this, that means a spoiler of some sorts is coming. Now, somewhere in the iTunes info, if you want to skip through the spoiler, I'll give you the time track so you can skip the 2 or 3 minutes on which I'm spoiling something for you. And I'll definitely let you know what it is that I'm spoiling, so like that you're not just lost in the wind wondering, man, I wonder what I'm missing there, okay? Like I said, considering that this is a pilot, we're not going to give it all away in the first show because we're always looking to add more content. As we move forward, the show will get better and better. But once again, that'll only be because of you guys. We strictly thrive on the input that you guys give us, and we want to get better as the show goes along. Now, back to this letter to Game Informer I sent over 10 years ago. It never got posted, but I got the basic thank you for the letter that you sent to Game Informer email. And yes, I have kept it this long. It's what happens when you have a computer. Honestly, I don't see the reason to ever get rid of anything that you have on a computer. As long as I can remember, when I was doing the whole PC thing in 2002, and I say that because I've now had a Mac for the last 6 years. But when I was starting to buy my PC and put it together and going to all these different places where I can just buy parts from different distributors, right off the top, I had 100 gigs. And back then, 100 gigs was like, whoa. I mean, right now, you could almost get 100 gigs on a flash drive. Right now, I'm rocking the terabyte plus the 500 gigs that Mac gives me, and I still kind of feel like I need more. I don't even know why. I haven't even filled up a quarter of it yet. I digress. And I do that often, people, so bear with me. It's because I feel comfortable, like I'm having a conversation. And you know what I'm talking about. If you're ever having a conversation about sandwiches, and then you end up talking about Star Trek, and then you end up somewhere along the lines of religion and politics, and then getting angry and storming out when all you was doing was literally talking about cheese sandwiches. It's what happens. It's what happened to me from time to time, like it's happening now. So, going back, okay, it's like I feel comfortable with you guys. Okay. So, here are my thoughts on the Resident Evil thing, and I know Resident Evil has been around for a long time. There's probably something a lot of people are like, oh, come on, Resident Evil. But just listen. Resident Evil, or Biohazard, and how Japan calls it. And yes, people, I will refer to Japan often when talking about games because the Japanese market and the publishers have changed the course of video games since the release of its Nintendo Entertainment System in Japan in 1983 and here in America in 1985. Back to Resident Evil. Obviously, upon its release in 1996, it was one of the most groundbreaking games that was affordable if you already had a PlayStation. The survival horror theme that had already existed in other consoles before, but not as quite successful, was brought to the American mainstream and was a hit upon release. I can't remember ever playing a game that had a combination of full motion video as its introduction, a great background soundtrack, good controls and gameplay, and that kept us on the edge of our seats the whole time. And if it sounds like I'm reading from a script, it's because these are my notes, and I'm going to get better at it. So again, bear with me. Resident Evil's ambience, camera angles, that always managed to cut off the part of the hallway you needed to see, that's the things we remember. And we definitely can't forget this.
That was too close. You were almost a Jill sandwich.
You're right. Barry, thanks for saving my life. But Barry, didn't you say you're going back to the dining room to do some research? Why on earth are you here?
If you can remember that, you're already awesome. But anyway, in 2002, I already had enough of it. I was fed up with the two previous sequels and refused to get you out of Raccoon City. I feared the series would forever have you running around puzzle solving in Raccoon City in the middle of a zombie outbreak. No later than I sent this letter, actually, Resident Evil was released on GameCube. And it was kind of like a nice little reboot to what we already knew, with better graphics, and the puzzles were a little bit more challenging. So that was pretty good. And then soon after that, 2005, Resident Evil 4 came out. And you're probably wondering, what's the infatuation with Resident Evil? Come on. I talk about Resident Evil because it's one of the things we do here. We talk about video games. We'll bring stuff up in the past. And the fact is, it's been over 15 years, and we still have Resident Evil games coming out today. It's not a lot of franchises when you think about it. The Marios, the Zeldas, Metroids, Sonic the Hedgehog. Those are iconic franchises, and Resident Evil is never put into those categories. Anyway, you know, it's one of the things. You know, it was a zombie game that came out before zombies were cool. And let me tell you something. I have an unhealthy infatuation with zombies. And I was liking zombies before zombies were cool. Before they were showing up as cute animations on hats and becoming belt buckles. I remember Chris Wizard, my co-host that's going to be here on when our first official show opens up January 17th. He gave me my first Walking Dead comic, and I read it, and that was a little over 6 years ago. So I have been part of it. So Resident Evil is a game that I always look to as the zombie game. You know, now we got all types of zombie games, and we got the Dead Islands and whatnot. But, you know, I want to see Resident Evil, if it ever stops or if it ever goes out or they ever make that one last one, you know, just give us that one last great game that makes us remember why we fell in love with it, if you're in love with it. You know, if believe it or not, Capcom actually released 75 different Resident Evil titles. But in the U.S. market, we've only seen about 15, depending how hard you look. In my opinion, if I could get one last good game without the weirdness and the funky controls and the little first-person shooters, just give me that one last great Resident Evil title, I'd be really happy. And talking about, you know, the whole zombie thing, I have some movie news. In an obscure but not so obscure news, this year marks the 20th anniversary of Alex Proyas' The Crow. And, unfortunately, the untimely death of Brandon Lee. I bring this up, and I bring The Crow up, because this is going to be some news that gets the ladies excited. I'm hearing word that Norman Reedus, also known as Daryl Dixon in the AMC TV series The Walking Dead, is up for a major role in the reboot of The Crow. Now, let me be careful with the word reboot. I'm using reboot because they're pretty much making another Crow. But according to James O'Barr, which is the originator of the comic book, he's going to be working in as a consultant. And his words exactly were, "We just want to be authentic and loyal to the original comic, and that means the story will be different." See, so they're not going to give us the same movie we saw. They're going to give us a movie that's based, or at least try to get as close to being based, on the comic book series. Now, I'm excited. See, I never experienced the comic books when the first movie came out, so I had no platform to judge the original Crow movie. So to me, the Crow movie was amazing. I remember seeing The Crow, and everything from the setting and the dark overlays, it took me to another place. And when he runs and jumps, he gets on that roof, and when he's playing the electric guitar, it just drives me, like, I love that. It was amazing. I remember watching that movie, and I went out right away to The Wiz. That's right, The Wiz. I know, I'm showing my age. And I bought the CD, and it was insane. It was deep, it had rock tunes. It has some sexy songs in it. And when I say sexy, like, just songs that when you put on, you felt like the man, you know, like you were just like rocking out. And it was just one of the greatest soundtracks I've ever heard. I'm excited to see where this goes. You know, not enough Crow information right now is being put out there, but I'm really interested to see where Norman Reedus' role is going to be. Obviously, it ain't going to be The Crow. And I say obviously because they already casted Luke Evans in the title role. If you don't know who Luke Evans is, if you've already seen The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smaug, he plays the character of Shaw. that bandit who lives on that water city. That's not a spoiler. I'm just telling you there's a bandit on the water city. Anyway, so they already casted him to be the Crow. So I'm wondering if Reedus would take on a major villain role after being the heartthrob hero on the AMC TV series of The Walking Dead. Listen, I'm excited because we're moving forward. And as long as I don't got to see another Bad Crow sequel, I'm perfectly fine with that. So, on some other TV news, if you're one of those hardcore fans of gangster movies and gangster shows, and you don't watch Boardwalk Empire, you're missing out on probably one of the best TV series. And I know everybody throws around, oh, it's great, or this is the best, this is the best. But Boardwalk Empire is a fantastic series. I'm not going to continue on there. You have to see it. The last season was weirdly amazing. And I'm going to leave it like that. Weirdly amazing because of the different angles and approaches they took really surprised me. And when you have season 4 of anything surprise you, that's pretty cool. But I bring up Boardwalk Empire because, unfortunately, we're only going to get one more season. Season 5 will be the last season of Boardwalk Empire. And to me, that's killer, but I'd rather see Boardwalk Empire end on top than go down that scary Dexter road where, you know, after Lithgow, Dexter was kind of like, what's going on? I mean, Lithgow, that series with the Trinity Killer, that season, that was epic. And it seemed like it never quite recovered. I joke around with my friends today that Sopranos ending, the one, you know, that everyone spoke about, I think it's finally been overtaken by the series finale of the Dexter ending. But you could be the judge yourself. I won't ruin it for you. Later on, I give it a few months, you hear that nice little siren, or that nice sound of bwonk that's in every movie these days, and I'll spoil it. But you'll know. So if you haven't seen Dexter yet, go see it. It's a great series, but it had a lot of left to be desired towards the end. In other TV news, for you Game of Thrones fans, August 14th, 2014, Game of Thrones returns. So I don't know how far in front you can set your DVRs. I know I only got maybe a week I can set my DVR in front. But put it on a post-it note, put it somewhere. That should be pretty cool. And that's going to be, I'm going to keep my TV section short. We'll do a lot more. And I want to touch on something right now that is true and dear to my heart. It's the idea of the fanboy. Now, I bring up the idea of the fanboy because it's a term that's going to be used a lot on this show. A fanboy. What is a fanboy? No, he's not a jerk. Well, depending who you ask. Described by the slang dictionary, a fanboy is a passionate fan of various elements of geek culture. E.g. sci-fi, comics, Star Wars, Star Trek, video games, anime, Hobbits, whatever it is. But they let their passion override their social graces, how they act in society, how they respond to people, how they move about, how conversations always turn into their advocation for the very thing that they love. You know, it's a person completely loyal to a game or a company or anything, regardless if it's good or bad. And a lot of times, the fanboy will use the fanboy term as a pathetic insult to kind of raise themselves up, you know, in a sense. They'll call themselves the fanboy and they'll adopt it. Like, for example, like, you know, they'll tell you, Have you watched every single episode of Star Trek? And I'm sorry to use Star Trek, but Star Trek and Star Wars is where I see probably the most diehard fanboy fans and fangirls. But the term is fanboys that we're dissecting here. You know, they'll tell you something like, did you see episode 97 of Star Trek, the original Star Trek, as you can hear by the background theme, which is I love the original Star Trek. And you'll go, no, I don't think I remember it. And because you can't recite it line to line, they'll tell you something like, oh, you're obviously a Star Wars fanboy. They'll call you a fanboy of something else, of a game, a book, or a series, if you're not in par with their insane fandom of any particular item. How many times people would tell you, you know, what you got, Xbox or Sony, PlayStation? And you go, oh, I got Xbox. And I'm like, and then, you know, they'll tell you, oh, you're a Microsoft fanboy. Or vice versa. They'll go, hey, you got PlayStation 4? And you go, no. And they go, oh, Microsoft fanboy. It's weird. They turn it around to kind of fit something, to kind of just take a nab at just regular people who are fans of stuff. Like me, I got both. I got both systems. I haven't yet bought the PS4 or the Xbox One because I just never buy systems when they very first launch. I always wait 6 months. But that's for our first show. I'm going to talk about video games and video game systems. Anyway, here's the thing about fanboys. I like fanboys because you can see them coming. They're not hidden. They don't. You know their agenda right off the top because they're probably wearing the t-shirt of the thing they love the most, and their first reference out their mouth is probably something from that thing that they like. Hell, I hope someday people can call themselves a fanboy of this show. I mean, I'm looking way down the future, but you gotta set goals, people. Set goals. But in all honesty, I think I'm okay with fanboys if they like something, even if it sucks or not. All I want fanboys to do is acknowledge that this thing they love, when it sucks, I want them to be able to say, listen, I know it sucks, but my loyalty to this overrides them because I know they were good and they got the opportunity to bring something else good. Just acknowledge it. The last thing I want to hear is something that's really, really awful and someone defends it downright where they want to get into a circle with you and, you know, grab a knife and, you know, reenact the 80s, you know, Michael Jackson Beat It video. Just acknowledge it. And I think if you acknowledge, even though you're dead loyal to something, even if you acknowledge when it goes wrong or there's bad parts to it, I can respect that so much more than someone who's blindly follows something no matter how far it falls off the cliff. Don't be a lemming. It's one thing to be a fanboy, but don't be a lemming. Don't follow your love for something over a cliff where you're the only one there. You know, dead by a roadside ditch, you know? So, you know, it's okay. I'm in it with them. There's some things that I have an unhealthy passion about, but I'm very critical about things in the same verse. Like zombies. I love zombies. I got zombie books out the wazoo. I had a few zombie t-shirts. I'm okay with it. But I'm not going to say all zombie movies are great. I'm not even going to say I like The Walking Dead all the time on TV because there's been some things that absolutely frustrated me, but I get over it quickly. I'm not a fanboy in the sense of any particular thing that when they make a movie rendition of it, I'm going absolutely nuts about it. And Chris Wizard, when he's here, he'll tell you the same thing. I don't say, well, I read the book 10 years ago. They didn't make the movie like the book, so I hate the movie. You know what? I kind of like when the movie changes it. I kind of like to see an artist, you know, a director, a musician, change it from its original course. I wasn't always like that, but I've become that way because it's cool to see what other people see. You know, everyone gives Michael Bay so much trash for his Transformers movies, but his Transformers movies are really based, not hardcore, but they're loosely based on the books. If anyone has ever read the Transformer books. So I'm okay with it. I want to be entertained, damn it. I want to be entertained. So if you can entertain me, even by changing it, I'm okay. And that's why I give The Walking Dead on TV so much love. Because though I go, oh man, that's not what happened, they're entertaining me to the fullest. So I'll take that any day. Now, on the lighter side of fanboys, check out the movie, Fanboys. It's starring Dan Fogler. Some of you guys might remember him from his starring role in Balls of Fury. Really fun, entertaining movie. It's just about a group of guys who want to go on a mission to George Lucas' house to recover the script from episode one. And it's pretty cool. It's funny. And it kind of makes light of the whole situation of what being a fanboy truly is. And it kind of nails it in the same right. Plus, if anybody has ever been to New York City Comic Con, I mean, you don't want to get into an argument there about something. You'll be outnumbered 1 to 1,000,000 every single time on every booth. But that's why I love going. I love when people are passionate about something. Like, sometimes I don't find myself, besides my family and my children and my wife, I don't find myself as passionate for one particular thing. And I don't know if that's good or bad. But I think I would really like to find that one thing where I'm blindly and irrationally passionate about. Or maybe I'm glad I'm not. I don't know. But we'll see moving forward. If you fanboys out there got anything to say, if you have an unhealthy passion about something, again, drop us a line on our Facebook website, www.facebook.com/kitchen.sink.12. That's the number 12. Let us know what you're super, super passionate about. And you can't call yourself a fanboy because you've read a few books and you got a couple of t-shirts. You might call yourself a fanbook if you've done all that and you have the tattoo. But, you know, fanboys isn't something that's just halfway. It's almost like a lifestyle, you know. And it's one of those things you don't really grow out of. You kind of just learn how to temper it and make it part of your life as you get older. Or it could be a trend, you know. I see people calling themselves zombie enthusiasts. And, you know, you would ask them 10 years ago, were you, you know, you like zombies? They would have been like, ew. So, whatever. Drop us a line. Let us know. You got our email address. And so, on my final rant, and I've been having fun. I could do this all day, but I want to keep this to 30 minutes because it's just a pilot show. We're going to try to keep our pilot shows between 30 and 45 minutes, unless we have any special guests, and we'll try to go an hour. So, this right here was a small taste of what the kitchen sink will give you, and I hope it's way better the next time. Yeah, I just do that. I hope it's way better, and we're going to get better. Like I said, we'll cover everything from time to time. Everything except politics and religion. There's no space on this podcast, on our Facebook, emails, or Twitter account for religion or politics. This show is a two-man show. Our first official show will be Friday, January 17th, like I mentioned earlier. And we will most likely be airing every Friday. If you know something, if you have questions, or just want to post your opinion on all things we talk about, or drop some knowledge of your own, feel free. Just remember, keep it clean, keep it respectful. We are honored by every like you give us on Facebook. We are honored by every iTunes upload you make from us. We are honored that you would spend your 30 or 45 minutes doing whatever it is you're doing with us in your headphones or in the background. It's something that we've been dying to do for the longest time. We recorded so many shows previously, which we're going to try to get in there in a segment we call The Cutting Room Floor. A lot of funny stuff. A lot of it, we're going to put the explicit sign on our iTunes upload just to let you know we're going to have The Cutting Room Floor that day. And it might be some things that are a little crazy. But once again, we're just honored that you took the time to listen to us. We hope you tell everybody you know. Thank you for joining me on our pilot episode. This is Eddie Z from the bottom of my heart, from the bottom of Chris Wizard's heart. We'll soon be seeing you next Friday. Be safe, have fun, and most importantly, stay passionate. Because if we're the best, it's because of you.